this morning, I kind of had somebody else in mind to talk, but that didn't work, so you're going to have me.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Some of you have seen a few slides, and some of you are getting your pillows fluffed, getting ready to go to sleep. But this past weekend, I had the privilege of going up to Sioux Falls, or to South Dakota, where Ken Corco's ministry, the ranch ministry, I worked with Ken. We had 61 active duty Marine Corps recruiters from the Wolfpack Nation across Iowa and Nebraska come up to the ranch. We wanted to give them fellowship, we wanted to give them fun things to do, and we wanted to have an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Because, like all the rest of us, we need to hear it. So I got a few slides from the weekend, and I can't do it, and so Pat's going to run through it. But a couple pictures of the ranch. So Pat, you'll just kind of run through a little bit. This is a 25-foot tower, and that round thing is a hot tub on top of the 25-foot tower. Somebody said, Ken, why have a 25-foot tower? He says, because the 50-foot tower is too tall. So somebody gave that to the ranch. The next slide is the Marines. These are the guys on Saturday morning. They went for a run. They had to do some maneuvers to justify the time away from recruiting. So they took a good run. They went through a lake out there and did some swimming in uniform and stuff like that. The next slide is me and my team of five Marines, and here we're on the rifle range. Now, one of the goals up there was for guys, Marines, like me, old and gray, to connect with a team of five young Marines who need an old gray-haired Marine in their life. So we shared experiences. So this was my team. We were on the rifle range. You can see the one on the right, the rifle is a Browning automatic rifle. And then there's a couple of ARs up there. So the next slide. The rifle range was one activity. Ken just got these four new go-karts in. They're more than average go-karts. And he has a 4/10 of a mile track. And so during one of the competition events, the guys would strap in a 5-point harness, get a helmet on, and see how fast they could go through the track. Nobody had a chance to practice, and the odds are they don't have one of these at home. Three of the five of my team rolled them. True Marines, just there's no brake pedal. The warning was earlier in the day, a captain got on board, and he rolled his, but he had his elbow out the window, so he broke his arm, so they had to take him to pier. So that was the most major. Next slide. We had plenty of trap shooting. Trap shooting was part of the competition. So the guys would go through on Saturday. We would take our teams through a number of different things. So trap shooting was one. Next. The rifle range. As I mentioned, we had a lot of different things on the rifle range. Some guys brought their handguns for the pistol range, which I don't have a picture of, and this is a 40 caliber. And some guys had 45s. And there are a lot of ARs, automatic rifles with 223s. I took my M1 Garand up there, which takes 30-06. But I suspect one of the most popular ones was the 50 caliber. I don't know if you've heard of a 50 caliber Barrett, but they have ported barrels, and if the end of the barrel is here, when it fires, you can feel the blast over here. It's an awesome gun, and they were shooting it like 300 yards with that one. It's capable of 1,900 yards. Okay, next slide. And one guy had a kind of a fun gun. It was not sure exactly what it is, but it sure made a lot of noise and shot fast. Next one. Oh yeah, there's me with the Barrett. It was fun. Next. Okay, there's me with my M1 Garand. The guys in the background are smiling because there was a stiff crosswind, and very stiff crosswind, 300 yards. It has no scope on it. It's an old peep sight, just iron sight. So, you know, the old guy got up there, and from the standing position, strong crosswind, clip of eight. God graced me with a hit at 300 yards on a 15-inch target. So they were all amazed, and I was thinking God has a sense of humor. I don't think I'll ever do that again, but it was a good day. Okay, next. They had a grenade toss, and these were inert grenades, and those were the activities. Lob it in the black, you get 2 points. The green, the blue, you get 1 point. If you miss, you get a point taken away. Next. We fed them well. I got back home Sunday night, all-time high on the scale. That's got to change. The next slide. We also had a couple of times where the gospel was shared. And Phil Downer, some of you heard him at Iron Sharpens Iron, he came up. And he was an in-your-face gospel presentation man. It was really great. This is Ken Corto, and he's sharing as well. So the next slide. Ken has a strong belief that bonfires are good. On Friday night after the talk, it was just goof-off time, and so we had a bonfire. On Saturday night, the bonfire went and it kind of settled down. And then there was a time where Kim shared his testimony, Liz shared her testimony as a wife. And then they had a time where men could come up and share something on their hearts, a prayer request, a testimony, a praise to God, or something else. And I was amazed at what God had done in the hearts of those men who came up. One man came up and he said, it was kind of like, this is a quiet prayer request. And sat down. A few minutes later, he came back up and he shared his heart. And these are battle-tested Marines. And he shared with his buddies how he and his wife had had a baby and the baby wasn't going to live long. And it lived long enough they could hold it in his arms. And it died while he was holding it. And it was just a tough thing. There were so much ministry took place after the campfire. They were responding. They were sharing testimonies of God in their life. So other guys that they work with now know who they are. And it was just a very special time. Next slide. On Saturday night, the end of the day, I was reflecting on my life, and I was thinking, God, you've given me an incredible life. I've just been watching you at work all weekend, and I just kind of just sat and thought back across my life and just was just tremendously amazed at what God had done. See, what a lot of people don't know, in 1967, in the summer, I was 18 years old. And that's a kind of a low number. It was kind of my average in high school, you know, the grade. And in 1967, if you weren't doing well in school, you got this letter from Uncle Sam. He says, I want you to put on an Army uniform and join the Army. Go to Vietnam. Vietnam was hot and heavy. Well, I was going to be 19 in the fall, so that pretty much assured me that I would be encouraged to leave school, so I did it voluntarily. One Saturday morning, I went down to the Marine Corps recruiter. There was never a thought of the Army, Navy, Air Force. No offense, you guys are tough, but I just always wanted to go into the Marine Corps. And so I went down there and enlisted. You know, when I stood there in front of the recruiter and filled out all the paperwork and I raised my hand and said, yep, I want to be a Marine, I had no idea what was ahead. No idea. And it was a while before I went to boot camp. But you know, it was a great time for me. this is a little premature, but Ronald Reagan said some people live as their entire life and wonder if they've made a difference in the world. Marines don't have that problem. But you know, I hit the Marine Corps, and I'm not sure if, how many more slides we had trouble with it this morning. Next slide. Raised a hand and said, yep, I do. Next one. This is the oath of enlistment that we all took. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me, according to the regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice, so help me God. If you see a man in the uniform, that's the oath that they took. So remember that. Next slide. It's as if we give our lives to our country. Next slide. Okay. There are a few more slides in there, but it has pictures of the bus. You know, we got bused down to Paris Island, and then there were three wonderful gentlemen who met us. They were drill instructors. They really loved us, and they cared for us. They whispered in our ears, sweet nothing. But I came to realize that these men in my life, they really did love me. They had a strange way of showing it sometimes, but they wanted to teach me how to live. They wanted to teach me how to help my brothers at arms to live. They wanted to teach me how to obey orders. They wanted to teach me how to kill with hands, with pistols, with rifles, bayonets, whatever, in order to protect our country when we go to war. So they really had my best interest at heart. Oh, this is the guy who says, gee, nice you guys could come tonight. Next. Yeah, this is a representative of the gentleman that we came to get to know really well. Next. Yeah, those sweet nothings. Next. Cervantes had seen some of these. We had our little notebook, and the notebook is about this big, and every time we were standing around, it was hold it open and read general orders, read first aid, read chain of command. It was our Bible. Next. This is a young me. Next. Come on, next. This is another young me. Next. And that's self-explanatory. Next. And yeah, I'm not as lean, not as mean, still Marine. Next. Military people, we took an oath and it doesn't have an expiration date. So when the time comes to stand up for our country, we're all active again. Next. We can park there, I think. Probably the last one. When I finished my time in the Marine Corps, I went out to California and I visited with my sister and brother-in-law. I went to the Marine. My brother-in-law was the commanding officer of Marine Barracks out there at Long Beach, and so I went to the base chapel with them a couple of weeks, and then I thought, you know, I'm really done with this. And so they suggested I go to this little church. It had young people. I'm thinking, girls, this is a good thing. So I went to the 11 o'clock service, discovered that all the girls were at the 8:30 service. But being pegged as a visitor in an older congregation, I got called the next day saying, we enjoyed having you in church Sunday. Can we come and visit with you? I couldn't think of a reason to say no. So they came over on Tuesday night. Now, I grew up in the church. And they were giving me a gospel presentation. And it was kind of like they were telling me about things. And I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. I believe in God the Holy Spirit. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. He was born of a virgin. I believed it all in my head. And I had been a good Lutheran all my life. I mean, there was always somebody worse than me. I didn't go around saying, oh yeah, he's better than me, he's better than me, I'm okay. And they said, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? I said, sure.
Well, why?
Well, because I'm better than, I'm not as bad as, I've done good things. You know, all the wrong answers. And then we talked about that. And then they said, have you ever confessed and invited Christ into your life? No. Do you want to do that? Yes. There was something the vacuum inside of me was saying, now is the time. And so that night, I invited Christ into my life. I don't remember exactly what happened. There was no lightning bolt. There was no instant transformation. But I started wanting to read God's word. I started wanting to go to church. And my life changed on that day. My sister Sarah said, 6 weeks later, we thought you told them what they wanted to hear to get rid of them. But we've already seen the changes in your life. Much like the Marine Corps. I want to be a Marine. I want you to make me a Marine. That night I raised my hand, but I said, God, I want you to make me a man of God that you want me to be. I had no idea what laid ahead, what came, what's coming next. And through it all, this particular church, the men took me under their wing, drill instructors. They gave me the Bible, my little red book, and they saw to it that I was at the men's breakfast, that I was in prayer groups, that I was fully engaged. And I had a family of godly men who took me under their wing, and they taught me how to be a man of God, how to listen to the Spirit of God. They taught me how. Could I have said, you know, I gave my life to the Lord, walked on through life? Probably. But I look back on my life and I look at the incredible adventure that God has given me. Many of you know the years that I've had. So I've been able to serve God in my 20s, my 30s, my 40s, my 50s, my 60s, and a couple more years I'll start into my 70s. You know, that's a long time to watch God at work. It's a long time to enjoy what He has for you. Some people get started earlier, some people get started later. The important thing is to get started with God and say, God, I want you to make me the man you want me to be. When you get to be my age, some of these thoughts just come. Literally. In Scripture, the Scriptures are full of different passages. You know, God wants our attention. God wants us to be the men He's called us to be. In Psalm 139, familiar verse, we were knit together in our mother's womb. God made us special, He made us unique, and He made us for a purpose. In Ephesians, it says, we are His workmanship. He made us. We are created for good works, which He has prepared for us before the foundation of the world. He has an incredible life lined up for each one of us. Scriptures are full of that. And we, as men, need to stop and say, God, I want the incredible life that you've designed me to have. What is getting in my way? What is getting in my way? And if we stop with an honest heart and do that, He'll reveal it. God's word is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. You know, I'm a high school dropout. I didn't make it through high school because literature, you know, I would read something and I couldn't remember it. Reading comprehension has always been a difficult thing for me. But when it comes to Scripture, somehow the Spirit of God lets me read it. And I forget a lot, but I know where to go back to get it. And I know that God has helped me understand Scripture. I mean, it's taken me long enough, but you know, you got to keep at it. And don't just read it to say, okay, I read my verse today. I read my chapter today. read it and say, God, change my life using your word. Let your Holy Spirit work in me. God has so much for each of us. And I know that there's so many testimonies around this room of incredible lives. I know Servando, he's got an incredible story. You know, he should be dead, buried underneath the jail, but no, he's here and God used him in a great, great thing. You know, Dean Bauer, he was in a tunnel in Korea or Vietnam?
Korea.
When somebody blew it up, he should still be buried under there or fragmented, but he's out and engaged. His testimony is all over the place. And God has a purpose for each one of us. And if you're just floating through life, stop. If you got an early start, praise God. If you're getting a late start, get started. But you know, it's too special. It's too special not to take God up on his offer. You know, like you believe this is a dollar? Well, this is a dollar. Who wants it?
I'll take it.
Come get it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Whose dollar is that?
It's mine.
It's yours?
Yes.
What it cost you?
Nothing.
But what you have to do?
Receive it.
You had to get off your butt and come get it. Now, you know, all of you could have walked away and left that dollar on the table. Either a dollar richer. But you know, that's the offer that God has. You know, so much we are offered. There's a true story about two men who were in a bank robbery or something. Somebody got killed, and so they both were up for capital punishment. And one man was indeed executed, and after that, they discovered new evidence where the second man should have received a pardon, and they gave him a pardon, but he refused it. He refused it. And went through the court system, and Supreme Court ruled a pardon is something that's offered. A pardon is something that must be received. If this man chooses not to receive it, that's his choice. The man refused the pardon, and they hung him. He missed life because he refused the pardon. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, for our pardon, and we can accept it or we can refuse it. If we refuse it, we die. We die spiritually. We miss it all. I don't want anybody to miss it all. So if you have any questions, talk to somebody. Mainly, talk to God. Just say, God, I don't know what this is all about, but I want you to make me the man you designed me to be. How am I getting in your way? See, the incredible life is offered to all of us. Don't miss it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.